Hey guys, hope you're having a good day today. We're going to get right into the lesson. Hope for today. We're in Ephesians 2, and we're going to look at verse number 17. We're just going to have one quick and easy thought today. It says, "And came and preached peace to you, which were afar off, and to them that are nigh." We can see here that God has a unity of message to everybody. The context is, the passage that we're talking about here is talking about how there are both the Jews and the Gentiles, and the Jews were closer to God because they had been given the word of God, and they had been given the ceremonies, and the Gentiles were afar off. And when Christ came, his sacrifice on the cross made peace with God. So our sin had been paid for. The sins of the whole world have been paid for. And it says in verse 18, "For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." So the message, this is the point for today, the message that God has towards us is peace. It says that when Christ came, he preached peace. The good news of the gospel is that it's the gospel of peace. Now, we hear the promise of peace from everybody. Every politician, they say, if you believe in me, if you vote for me, if you put me in power, you'll have peace. Many people, that's how they get their product sold as well. You'll have a more peaceful existence. You'll have peace with the environment. You'll have peace with your conscience. Peace is one of the most well-used things for trying to get people to do something. But here's the thing about God is that when he preaches peace, he actually comes through with it. And he comes through with it every single time. Okay? So we have peace with God through the atonement. Okay? Through what Jesus did for us on the cross, we can have peace with God. We have peace through the intercession of Jesus. He's praying for us right now. We have peace through the teachings of Jesus. He teaches us that we have peace and how to live and the reality of this peace. And he does this for everybody. You know, God doesn't play favorites. And if we want to know, you know, what does God think of me right now? What are the thoughts that God has towards me right now? Even if we've messed up, even if we have fallen away from the Lord, or even if we feel like we're having a bad day, or even during, you know, Corona virus, we want to know, what does God think of me? He says in Romans 8 and verse 15, "If you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." So the first thing that we see here is that God's thoughts towards me are not to try to instill fear in me, but to try to instill this relationship with him so that when I'm thinking of him and looking towards him as a father, I'm supposed to be thinking, Daddy. I'm supposed to be thinking, you know, this is my father. And we're supposed to have these thoughts of God being a good father toward us. These are thoughts of peace. So if there's a thought that's coming into my mind about God that is one of fear, or one that God is disgruntled with me, or God is mad at me, or God doesn't like me, those thoughts are not from God. Okay? The Bible says in Jeremiah 29 and 11, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end." In John 3, 17 and 18, it says, "For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." The message of the cross is one of peace. The message of the cross is one of God reaching out and saying, "My thoughts towards you are peace. My actions towards you are peace." And then it goes on in John chapter 3, 19 through 21, and describes why don't we have peace. If God's message is peace, if God sent Christ to die for our sins so we could have peace with him, then why don't we have peace? It says in John 3, 19 through 21, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world," speaking of Christ, And men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. So we have a very important instruction here concerning peace. God is the God of peace. His message is the message of peace. That's the gift he's trying to give us. Peace with our relationship with him, to have that peace dwelling in our heart, for that to be the foundation of our relationship, for us to pray to him, and for us to know the peace of God that passes all understanding, the Bible says in the book of Philippians. But we can see here that we don't have peace if we choose to love darkness rather than light. If we choose our own way over God's way, if we choose our sin over his salvation, if we choose our pleasures, our guilty pleasures, our sinful pleasures, that the pleasure of sin for a season, if we choose that over responding to God reaching out to us and drawing him into himself and drawing us into the path of righteousness, we're not going to experience peace. We're going to have those feelings of condemnation. We've got to ask ourselves, have I trusted Christ as my Savior? Have I responded to his message of peace? If you haven't done that, you're not going to feel, it's going to be confusing. You're going to have the condemnation of your sin on you. And so you're not going to have peace with God. But you need to know that God's thoughts towards you are peace. He's reaching out to you. How do you get that peace? You have to forsake your own way. You have to forsake your own thoughts. You have to come to him, and you have to be willing to accept his path. And you have to be willing to accept the person that he gives for our salvation, Jesus Christ. And also, as Christians, guys, we have to be willing to admit we have peace in our heart. We experience this peace with God when we are walking in concert with him, not walking in opposition. The Bible says in James, the book of James, chapter number 4. I'm turning in my Bible right now. Sometimes those pages stick together, don't they? It says in James 4 and verse number 4, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God, or hostility with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." It says in verse 6, "But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Where do we find peace? We find peace in humility. We find peace in growing into a righteous life, a life that God wants us to live in. I wonder maybe if you're not experiencing God's peace in reality because you're not willing to submit to him and say, "You're right, and I'm willing to come on your side." God's message to you is peace. It's always been that way. And he sent his own son to die on the cross so that we can have this, so that it can become a reality in our life. He's not one of these politicians that's just selling this off, and he's packaging his own plan in peace so that we'll sell it and not ever deliver. That's not true at all. If we can have peace in every situation, if we're willing to come to God humbly, and we're willing to obey him and do as he says, and we need to rest in this. When we think of God, we need to think, God's thoughts towards me are peace. Guys, I pray that this gives you hope for today. I pray that you would have a great week, and we'll see you again next time.